Away, good day, and welcome back to the Coffee and Controller podcast.
Yes.
Charlie's getting done here. Brad is still sitting down.
It's been a tiring week.
And Saeed decided to wear the loudest jacket of a podcast. And he must get up and move around.
This is my jacket. This is my favorite jacket.
To those just listening, Saeed is actually stuck in a parachute right now.
It's a skydiving jacket. It's a skydiving.
I got a haircut for today's podcast also, so you can hear my haircut.
I didn't, so you can hear my...
And, I definitely didn't.
And Brad is about to look like a Rich Forrester in a month's time, with long, luscious, flowing hair.
I've been looking for a brook.
So. Whoa.
Navasi Pachi. So, what's been happening in the last week?
Who's going to start?
You, Shadley.
Okay, yeah. So I watched Dungeons and Dragons on Among Thieves yesterday. It's such a liquor movie, man. Like, it's just perfect popcorn entertainment. You just mark that. It's a video game movie, a video game adaptation, a game adaptation done well. Like, it's entertaining, it's fun, it's got interesting characters, and it's got enough, like, of the lore of Dungeons and Dragons so that, like, somebody who's new to it will take it in, but somebody who's also, like, experienced will be like,
oh, was that thing?
That's, yeah, cool. There's enough Easter eggs, but so it's pretty just. I would go and watch it again if I'm like lazy on the couch and I don't smoke to move.
I liked it enough. Like, it was, for me, I felt like it was a solid, just a solid movie. Like, I wasn't upset that I watched it. I enjoyed it, but not enough that I would be like, oh, you need to watch this movie.
Fair enough.
It was just like, that was a decent use of my time.
Yeah.
And I could watch it in one go. So for me, that's like, okay. That's how I know it's decent. Because
Do you know Dungeons and Dragons?
No, not really. Like, I've listened to like Dungeons and Dragons podcasts where people play it.
Yeah.
Which is why I also want us to play that one day. Do it as a, like, if we can find a dungeon master. But like,
in 6 hours of our time to go on an adventure.
But like, yeah, so I have enough of an understanding of the game. But also, I don't know enough for me to be like, oh, that's that thing.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
That's the hut.
Like, I only know it through other people playing it. So I know whatever they were doing. I don't know the real game.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it. I don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I know the concept of the game, the board game, but I've never played it. I've never watched the movie. Not that I don't want to, because I've only heard decent things about it.
Same.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I go, that's nerd culture. That's a culture of nerd that I didn't get into.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm not anything. I'm just, So I'm keen to watch it, but
I really want to play it one day. Like,
We must. Like, can somebody find us a dungeon master?
She played it before, but she wasn't a dungeon master. She just played with friends.
Brad, don't you brass her?
No. I wasn't that level of nerd at school.
That's you racist stereotyping now. Just because Brad
don't
is
you
a white
people?
Nerd. Don't you people here. Yeah.
You white know what nerd. They say?
No, it's because I actually saw his brass playing. That's why.
Okay. Some of my best friends are Dungeons and Dragons. And you said what happened in the last week?
What did I... I blanked now when you asked me. I watched the Hitman movie on Netflix. I hated it. It was ass. Like, also, the end... I'm not going to spoil it because it's still relatively new, so I don't want to give... But the ending was like...
The ending was horrible. They didn't need the ending.
But the ending... We can't say more because if you haven't watched it...
You know what? How long has it been out now?
Nah, we can't because they might watch it. The other people on the podcast might watch it. If they watch it, we can talk about it.
I don't care. Like, even if you spoil it, I'm like indifferent about it.
Okay, I don't care.
If you want to avoid spoilers, skip. I don't know how long. Just
me
skip.
Yeah, skip the back
but
of the
we'll, car. We'll spoiler say spoiler it. Done. So, bruh, they both kill... They both are proper kill. Like, okay, he didn't kill anybody, no?
No.
No, they did. They killed that, bruh.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
And then at the end, like, there's like a... They don't tell you there's a time skip. Then you just see, like, out of nowhere, he's holding a young girl in the school, and his wife is now the mother, apparently. And this girl's probably like 10 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
And then the movie
but
just...
But they didn't age.
They didn't age at all. They look like that.
Oh, no.
Ifsen and I rewinded it thrice to see, like, when did they say that there was a time pause?
Did you miss like a tagline?
Yeah. And then the movie doesn't know if it's a comedy or what it's trying to be. There's like no tone that goes throughout the whole thing because in theory, like, the situation is funny, But you can't root for the people in the situation.
Yeah, got you.
Also, because they killed someone.
They actually like, they genuinely, yeah, they are terrible people. So you can't really root for them. And then the end makes it end, it ends like a rom-com. But it's like, you can't end the movie like that because like, they must go to jail. Like, and then it's just like, oh, it's played like, oh, it's cool, it's cute.
Haha, jokes. So, but I, oopsie, we killed somebody.
So here's my take on the movie. Firstly, it's a Netflix movie. That's the first thing we must understand.
But it didn't start as a Netflix movie. It started as a normal movie.
Yes, but it's a net, it's a Netflix Hallmark movie. Because Netflix makes
it like a Hallmark
movie. It's a Hallmark movie. It's a soft movie that you go, it's nice colors, it's nice framing. There's a funny moment here.
Yeah.
It's a not even funny, it's a humorous moment.
Yeah, it's like we didn't laugh once. Just
like a, that's the most you're going to give if Max.
Got you.
But you go, there's a bit of action. The guy is a great actor though. I'm going to give him that.
He's good. He is good. But
because the way he changed roles in the thing, I was really like impressed with that.
I see why like he's like Tom Cruise's guy now.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah. But like he's, I don't know. Like I think like they could have done so much better with that movie if they had. Like it doesn't seem like they decided on the tone that they wanted for
this. Yes.
Got you.
Because if it was supposed to be like a funny, like cutesy kind of a thing.
Yeah.
They didn't do enough to do that. But then there's serious moments, but they don't do enough to sell how serious those moments are.
Mm.
So like the whole time you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's based on a true story, apparently.
Yeah.
But at no point do they say, oh, this real guy didn't actually kill. This real guy that's with so he didn't actually kill like anybody. What? Like
the other thing is I would actually like to see a director's cut of it. Because the side characters that they got is Treat Yourself from Parks and Rec. What's
Donna,
her name?
Donna. From,
okay, yeah,
from
yeah.
Parks and
Rec. And I go, I'm pretty sure she would have given you more comedic moments that got cut out from the thing.
Got you,
then
yeah.
And she's the only other person in the movie that you know.
Yes.
Like, we were saying like they spent the budget on him and the wigs. Like,
and that's it.
They didn't.
He's a knock. Yeah. Also, that guy, it's so wild because I go, if he was born 10, 15 years earlier, he'd be a superstar. Yeah. Like, he's got the perfect cut of of what Hollywood was.
Also, like, a stupid thing, but he's too gebouw.
Okay, for the movie. Okay.
Because he's supposed to play, like, a philosophy professor, no? But, like, then he's, like, lumming in the shirt, and I'm like, I can see your biceps through that shirt.
Are you like, body shaming?
No philosophy professor is ripped like this. Like, I can see.
He's got a tan. You know, philosophy of professors are bleak.
But it was too soon off the Top Gun that they shot that because you could see like this bruh is he's too good.
But then I also watched him in what's it, the other, not Anyone But You.
I didn't watch it yet.
Again, a great chick flick. Just like when I say chick flick, it's, I enjoyed it, not that it's just the genre's chick flick, but it's funny, it's got nice moments. But again, it's a Netflix movie, so you go, don't ask too much. Don't question the movie. Don't question the holes. Just look and enjoy. Also, what's her name?
Sydney Sweeney.
A basic ass actor. Actress. And you go, but the movie doesn't require to be amazing. They also use like classic tropes of, oh, we're going to use a song that's going to, not going to be part of the movie, but we're going to make everybody enjoy it.
Yeah.
Who also did it? There's a few movies that will take one song like from the 90s and then almost like make it a cool song that everybody sings.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then, so they're using the Natasha Bedingfield. And I just go, that's all that the movie is. And then that movie shot in Australia, I noted. And then also Fall Guy is...
I didn't watch it yet.
From
Ryan Gosling. I want to watch it.
It was actually a lot of fun.
It's a fun movie, yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice action movie. Not like a super action, just a nice one. But that movie is also shot in Australia.
Okay.
So I am leading to believe that that Australia is doing a lot for the economy by getting them to shoot movies there.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say I clocked Hades, but I escaped Hades. I beat him at the end.
Yeah,
Hades,
boy.
Delilah, what's it like in you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone knows my thoughts on the game, all our thoughts on the game. It's amazing. I'm so glad I finally got the right like combination of boons and everything to get through. That's what I was building towards. So like I started the run with Ares and his cast, which is like that blade.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on when you find... I forget the...
Is this
the,
your review now? No.
No. Okay, no. Okay, okay. I forget the gods, the goddess's name, but it's like the goddess of hunting or something.
Artemis.
Then when you find Artemis, the then when you combine, you might get a duo between the two of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So when you release the Blade Rift, it searches for the enemies. Yeah, so yeah. It goes straight for the enemies. Oh. And that helped me beat Hades at the end. And then obviously also just all my second chances and coming back from the dead and everything like that. And yeah, I got so happy. I was standing in front of the TV, like, you know, when you're like
the best.
In that boss fight and you're like standing right in front of the TV, just trying to get it right. I was doing that. Yeah.
Get a tear ran down your cheek.
Very,
it's such a little feeling when you finally beat him.
Denzel Washington tear just running down.
Because the day before I WhatsApped you guys and I honestly was about to land the killing blow.
Yeah.
And then he hit me with something first. And I'm like, then you have to go all the way back to the beginning.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. And then, so I did that. And then when you were talking, firstly, Hitman was directed by Richard Linklater.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like, no, it doesn't.
It's weird.
I saw the name and then I was
at the end, I was surprised because I was like, wait, this bruh.
What else has he done?
School of Rock.
Yes.
Boyhood.
The
Before trilogy, yeah.
Maybe this was like a holiday project for you.
I think that was maybe like one of those one for them kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Netflix. We did.
Netflix is going to fund his next
one. Yeah, so they're going to give
you. You're not doing anything. Film. Yeah, we'll give you some money and then you can shoot one of your films.
Exactly. But when you were talking about it, because I haven't seen it, obviously, it reminded me, there's so many parallels of a movie I watched yesterday, which is A Simple Favor by Paul Feig.
Oh.
It's old-ish. It's probably like maybe 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's with Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. Directed by Paul Feig. You think it'll be good? I personally didn't like it because it's almost exactly the same. Like there's the characters in there. You're just like, you're bad people.
Yeah.
Why do I care about your story? Why do I root for you? Anna Kendrick's character is not the bad person because she can only play like the...
Yeah, the good one.
The good one, the timid, like the, not the victim, but like in the movie.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
She plays Anna Kendrick.
Exactly. And so like Blake Lively's this like very powerful businesswoman, but she goes missing. Mm. And then I'm also going to spoil it now.
Is that the gold poster?
I don't know. That's Spy.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
But it's just like, and she's just the biggest asshole in the movie. You know what I mean? Like she takes advantage of Anna Kendrick's character. She doesn't go missing. She's just like, I've got this work thing. Can you fetch my child from school? Because their kids go to school together.
Oh, there's no like redeeming qualities in either.
And then Anna Kendrick's like, yeah, sure. And then she just doesn't come fetch her son from Anna Kendrick. And then it turns into a whole missing persons thing. But then you find out that, then she her body's found. And then... The whole twist is that she faked her death to get insurance money or whatever. But like you still meant to almost be like rooting for her and her family by the end of the movie. And it's also one of those things where it doesn't, when it's meant to be funny, it's not really funny.
Oh yeah. Mm.
So you're like, why do I care about anything in this movie? It's shot nicely. It's decent enough, but like, it's not his best work. I love him as a director, but it's not his best work.
Yeah.
And like you can tell when, like at the end, she's about to get arrested. Fuck, spoiler alert.
Go for
it's it. Fine. I'm never going to watch that movie.
She just got knocked over at the end as well. It's one of those things, you know, when a character walks into the street and there's like a dead on shot on her and I'm like, she's about to get knocked over. Yeah. You know what's about to happen.
Yeah. Did she do the look back? Like
no, she's just like shouting, oh, no.
Mean girls.
Yeah, exactly. And then she doesn't die, obviously, but then she like, the cops come and arrest her and she like punches the one cop in the dick while she's lying on the floor. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like
classic.
Yeah. Anyway, so I watched the whole thing, but.
I never, do you guys stop watching movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't. I always watch it finish.
Nah.
Even if I'm going to be distracted and I'll go on my phone, but I need to know the beats of the movie. I think in my whole history, I probably put off one or two movies. No. I'll watch it to the end just to know.
I only do that if it's like, if I like the director or if I like one of the performers in the movie.
Yeah, okay.
But if it's like, if I don't have any attachment to any part of it, I'll be like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but I was going to ask now, have you guys ever walked out of a cinema? Like a movie in the cinema?
If I pay money, I'm getting my money away.
I don't think I've walked out, no.
Yeah, I did once. And I was a lighty. Holy Man with Eddie Murphy.
What the hell is that?
Oh,
I was at N1 City. I remember it distinctly.
But that movie did tank though.
Yeah, but I think it's because I was a kid. I was very young.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like funny Eddie Murphy. And it was like, maybe it went over my head or whatever. But like, I walked out of that.
It was more good meaning, funny.
Yeah.
Good meaning, humorous of Eddie Murphy.
I was just like, I'm bored. Before. Like, literally, I was just like, should I?
Yeah, I'm going to leave.
And then the other one I walked out of, it was before the movie even started. And I would have stayed and watched, but I went with a friend and he paid for the tickets. He's just like, fuck, I'll pay whatever. And then we read reviews of it as we were about to watch it.
Oh, no.
And then he's just like, Brad, I'm not watching this movie. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, oh, you paid, whatever.
What movie was
After Earth by Shamayamalamala.
Oh, my God, that movie is...
Yeah. With Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Why did you wait until that moment to like...
We were sitting in the cinema at Canal Walk. We were about to... Like, the trailers hadn't even come on. And he was just like, Brad, this movie looks like it's fucking awful. And we're like...
So what did you do instead? Did you just go eat?
I can't remember. We probably had KFC and then left. Like,
I'll be honest, though, that is probably 100 times more exciting than that movie. That movie's boring.
Were you
shit.
With him? We went to go watch Drag Me to Hell.
No, I wasn't.
So we went to go watch Drag Me to Hell, not knowing what it was.
Yeah.
So we, and it's a genre of like skrik horror.
Yeah.
Right? So we're sitting front row. Full cinema. And I think it's like the first skrik scene. But it only happens like 15-20 minutes into the movie that you realize, it's a horror movie. And there's this Morse skrik. Tofik, a friend that was with us. No, he basically throws the popcorn, jumps, runs out, never comes back for the rest of the movie. He just waited outside for us. We sit and we laugh. But what that said, though, I skirked and I shouted the whole movie. I hated that fucking movie just because the point of it is to just get you going like that. Like it drags and then pops, drags and then pops. And and then at one point there was a goat that spoke.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
Sam Raimi, man.
In the cinema or in the movie?
We almost had a spit take over there.
I read a theory that's an unofficial movie in the Evil Dead universe. And it makes sense.
That's really
interesting. Well, I didn't read it. I watched a YouTube video, but same thing.
That's reading nowadays.
Yeah. Sam Raimi, there's weird demons. It's wacky. It's stupid. There's body horror. Could be.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Anyway.
Should we get into the question of the week?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, so question of the week.
Wait, I must also tell you the game I played.
What did you play?
Firstly, I got a new phone. But the game I started playing is basically you just modify phones, modify cars. It's a stupid game on the phone. I can't even.
Race them.
You don't race them. You just modify the car and then.
It's car mechanic simulator.
Put it up. So because you get ones about houses where you decorate the house and then you put it up.
Yeah.
You get ones with like outfits for women's outfits. Now I got the car one. But I just downloaded the mod APK because I just want to mod the car. I don't want to battle it.
And is it real cars or fake cars?
It's all real cars. Like
So you West Coast Customs. That's what it is.
But the quiet thing is it's like sports cars, hatchbacks, like all basically all kinds of cars. And you just modify them and you just make it pretty and that's it.
What's it called?
I forgot the name. Google it now.
We'll put it here.
Are you going to Google if it's on your phone?
No, the thing is I didn't put it on the new phone.
What's
you
that?
Can carry on.
Yeah, let's go into the question of the week. And the question I have for you guys is, what makes a game a day one or like an instant purchase?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's harder now than it was, say, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's going to...
For me, instant purchase. I don't think there's very few things that I would be like, yeah, I need it. But it's... I think if it's from a studio that I have faith in, like, so like if Supergiant had to say like there's a new game coming out and it's I could play it, I would get it pretty much immediately because I want to support them because I trust the company because like I've watched like their behind the scenes stuff in the past, so I know how much pride they put into what they do and that they don't release stuff when it's like broken.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel cheated if I bought something from them day one.
Yeah.
But it's not like, but I wouldn't do that for like a Ubisoft game, for example. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like if they release something, I would definitely do it.
Because you know, there'd be like bugs, but it wouldn't be like game breaking.
Yeah.
It'll just be like simple things. That you might stumble upon, but
Like I think they're actually the only thing I would do day one. Because in the past, I used to be, I used to do that for FIFA games in the past, like pre-order, get it.
No, but the thing was,
yeah, back then, it was worth it to do it.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Because also that time, I haven't done it since high school, but like that time, all your brass is getting that game that same weekend. You want to play online, you want to, you can't not
fall behind. Yeah.
I was playing online in high school.
And you,
No, but it is that also the thing with FIFA is there were big jumps every year.
Like you felt like you needed the new game.
Yeah.
And you needed to learn it.
I haven't done it since then because
those jobs aren't there anymore and it just doesn't feel worth it.
Yeah.
Brad?
Almost the same thing for me. Like if it's a studio I trust or an IP I trust. Or not trust, but love. You know what I mean? Like, so for example, let's say
Resident Evil type.
Yeah, well, saying that, like I didn't actually buy the RE4 remake day one, you know what I mean? But just because it was too much money, you know? Yeah. But like the point being, like studios I trust would be Rockstar. Like I will get GTA 6 day one. Yeah, I just will.
Yeah, you need GTA 6 day one.
So firstly, day one, it was also dependable on your budget.
No, yeah,
I feel like day one can also mean when I have enough money for it, I'm going to buy it. Yeah. That's my day one.
You have 2 years to put a 10 rand aside every now and then for GTA.
This is true.
Do you know what I mean? You've had 10 years to do it.
Yeah.
So say you have the budget. You have the budget.
Yeah.
So
definitely like GTA 6 or anything. Yeah, anything Rockstar, day one.
Yeah, that's actually my T's and C's. If it's Rockstar, I'll put day one on it.
And anything Naughty Dog for me now, day one.
What have they dropped recently?
Last of Us Part 2.
That's a while ago, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the thing. These studios take their time.
They
don't just pump out games. So when a game is released, you know it's if you like the world or the IP, you know it's going to be good.
Mm.
So that's why like Last of Us Part 1 was day one for me. Last of Us Part 2 was day one for me. The Uncharted games are day one for me. So like those are, and then if it's an IP I really love. So for example, if Doom the Dark Ages weren't on Game Pass, I would buy that day one.
Mm.
Because like it is maybe a thing that I wouldn't buy all their games day one just because I don't like all of their IPs.
Like the Doom, they knock it out of the park.
They kill it all the time. So, well, the recent TV games are.
So on my day one list, it's a Rockstar.
Yeah.
And Wario.
Fair. Yeah.
Oh, that's
the Wario games is for me. It's because it's party and you can play alone and it's still fine.
Yeah.
You can just have anxiety on your own.
You'll be like, yeah,
this is tense.
No,
yeah.
like for me, it's now also like, it comes down to reputation. Like you guys were saying, it's like, and it must be like current reputation, not like Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not goodwill anymore. But like you did quite stuff back then, but like right now, your track record isn't looking so great. Yeah. So things
you
like,
could be speaking about Activision or the ANC and it fits in both. You did good, but what are you doing now?
It's like, we know what you did.
Yeah.
But what did you do now? Ubisoft also doesn't have a great track record. Although they've had some like sleeper hits in between and I think they've missed out on that. Like Prince of Persia, Lost Crown was really great. But because they have a bad track record, no one really jumped on board with it.
Yeah,
even Watch Dogs 2 was really good. I was surprised at how good it was. But it didn't get any fanfare because Watch Dogs wasn't that great.
Exactly. Even Watch Dogs Legion, like I remember watching someone play, I'm like, this is cool. This is really, really cool. That's like you playing in London. Like this is a real open world London. But
Ubisoft's misses are bad.
Yeah.
Rockstar just... It would be shocking if they missed. It would be really shocking if they missed.
What game did they miss?
I don't know.
What games of these was a flop? Not commercial. Not commercial flops. I mean, like as a game, it was a bad game. Because I feel like all the stuff they make, either there's a crowd that will always love it.
Maybe Manhunt 2?
I was thinking Manhunt.
That's years ago.
But I think also if you're the kind of person that would buy Manhunt, you probably enjoyed Manhunt.
No, but I'm specifically saying Manhunt 2. Like I think Manhunt 2 was a little bit of a step down.
Okay.
Because maybe they had to because of the regulations and stuff like that. But I feel like that's probably their last... Their worst game, or their last flop, or whatever.
Yeah, maybe the table tennis thing was...
No, table tennis was fire.
No, but I just mean in terms of like...
Oh, in sales-wise, it might have flopped.
for a flop in terms of what we would expect from them.
That's just true.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, okay, the definitive trilogy also flopped, but that was
but
more
because laziness that caused that nonsense.
Yeah. They basically like fucked up. They remastered it, but they fucked it up. They made it worse than the original games. And they took all the original games off all the stores. So you couldn't buy the originals. You had to buy. Yeah. So it was just like a lot of bad will. But I think for the most part, like if you look at Red Dead 2, if you look at GTA 5, which has come out like 10,000 times, like they're great games. That's why it's been, they're milking it forever. So yeah.
Let's get into, okay, that's that. Let's get into the actual episode now. I feel like we've gone
half an hour in. Let's get into the episode.
Yeah, but we're going to keep it tight.
Conclude the episode of Bicycle Brasso we just recorded.
This is the crossover episode no one knew we needed. Yeah,
even they didn't know.
So this week's episode is retro game reviews. Yeah, what have you guys been playing?
Who's going to go first? I have a long one. So
I'm happy to go first.
Yeah, my one is short.
So I've got, so I spoke about a little bit about it last week, which is Dino Crisis 2. I've been playing it. And because I spoke about it in last week's episode, I think I'll probably do like a review, but also just like a bit of an info dump like about thing here. It. Yeah. So Dino Crisis 2, it's made by Capcom, which is obviously the studio that brought us Resident Evil. And there are a lot of like comparisons between Dino Crisis and Resident Evil. There's a lot of parallels and comparisons, some fair, some unfair kind of thing. And I think I placed some unfair comparisons before I played Dino Crisis 2 again now recently.
Pious.
Yeah, because I just kind of remembered it as Resident Evil with dinosaurs, you know?
And which is it not that?
It is and yes. It isn't. Like, Dino Crisis, so here's what I Dino Crisis 1 was more of a survival horror with dinosaurs.
Okay.
Whereas Dino Crisis 2 is like an action adventure with dinosaurs. So it's less, you've always got ammo. You can always run away from the dinosaurs. Two shots kill them. It's very arcadey, very action adventure-y, whereas Dino Crisis 1 was like the dinosaurs would jump out and scare you, or
you have limited ammo.
Exactly.
Are they evil?
The dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Well, they're just dinosaurs, so they want to eat you.
Oh, I never played the game, so I don't.
Yeah, so they're not like affected by anything or whatever.
They're just
so
dinosaurs.
Is it just like a universe where dinosaurs never died?
No. So here's the story, right? So I'll read this because, yeah. So on the 10th of May, 2010, this the United States Army's TRAT unit is deployed to investigate the disappearance of Edward City and its surrounding countryside. Because somehow this whole city and their countryside where like there was like a research base got sucked back into time into the land of dinosaurs. Right.
So while we were Shakira.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Diego, were Jurassic Park.
Diego Forlan was scoring the goals and we were fucking. And so then there's like this special forces unit goes back in time as well to go and rescue them, basically. That's what it is. But then things happen. Shit goes wrong.
Were they there when it got sucked back?
No, they also went back in time.
So they had time travel.
Yeah. The whole Dino Crisis thing is like time travel, basically.
It's wild.
But the US government has time travel in this world.
Yeah, but they only go back in time to save people from the past.
Instead of going to...
They didn't come to South Africa to save us.
Yeah, or even to go kill Hitler. They could have done anything to the world.
But they're like, the dinosaurs have come.
But you know what's wild is that the time travel is the part that I go... I don't believe the game.
Yeah. I was on board for the dinosaurs, but now it's like, time travel. Nah, man. Be realistic. Come on, man.
You're including two strains of sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I find like that's problematic.
Fair enough, yeah. So the director of Dino Crisis 2, his name is Shu Takami, directed it. But the director of Dino Crisis 1 was Shinji Mikami, who Shadley and I know as the director of Resident Evil 1, the Resident Evil 1 remake, and Resident Evil 4. So that's where obviously...
I know him as Butakhamad.
So that's obviously also why there are such big parallels between Dino Crisis and Resident Evil, because they were directed by the same person, you know?
And I think Dino Crisis 1 was, for the most part, not as like wild in its storytelling.
No.
It was basically, you went to an island, they were... It's like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They're experimenting with like dinosaurs. They brought them back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you go there to figure out what the fuck is going on and dinosaurs are free. And you're like, well, okay, I guess we got to kill them.
Exactly.
We got to escape.
And so the protagonist from the first game returns in this one, but with a second playable character as well.
I remember him, the blonde guy.
Yeah, the blonde guy. Basically, Leon Kennedy 2.0. Even sounds like him in the game. Just quickly, going back to Shinji Mikami, who directed Dino Crisis 1 and Resident Evil, I found a fun fact about him, that he voiced one of the characters in the Japanese version of Fallout 4, which is pretty cool.
So random.
Yeah, very random. So yeah, like I said, it carries on almost like the Capcom and Resident Evil thing of the sequel having two playable characters instead of just... No, the first Resident Evil 1 had a couple of playable characters as well. Yes. Yeah. So you get two playable characters in here. You switch between them throughout the game. So you don't play like a campaign as Regina and one campaign as Dylan.
Yeah.
That's their names, by the way. So you switch between them throughout the game. That's
I thought they were your cousins. I thought you just mentioning family names.
Where is this city based? Like,
it's a fake, like...
So it's not like America or Japan?
No, they're just...
It's just a place.
It's just a place. It exists. Okay.
It's like a research base. So there's like a lot of like warehouses and like long tunnels and long passages.
When did this game come out?
I want to say 2000.
2000, yes.
Yeah, just before the internet. That's why they could just make a place. No one's going to Google, where in the world is this?
Yeah. So yeah, you can play as both of them, but you can't choose when to play as those guys. You know what I mean? The story switches them for you throughout. So like Resident Evil 4, for example, when you kind of switch between Leon and... Sorry, and Resident Evil 2, when you switch between Leon and Ada, you know what I mean? It's just part of the story.
You got to do this.
Yeah. And so, but the cool thing about that switch is... that let's say you're playing as Dylan because you start playing as him first. There's a couple of gates that are locked in this research base that only Regina can open. And there's a couple of gates in the game that only he can open. Mm-hmm. So it opens up unique paths per character, but within the same research base, which is cool. So he has a machete, just like a normal straight up machete that can cut like reeds off of like overgrown reeds off of the gates. Whereas
she can open the gates.
Yeah, but then
he can go through those parts.
Yeah, but she has this like electronic melee. They're both the melee weapons that you can use to kill the dinosaurs as well. So she has this like electronic,
like a taser type thing,
but it's also like a handheld weapon that there's like electronic locks throughout the research base that she can just like short circuit almost. So she can unlock those gates, whereas he can unlock those gates, which is pretty cool. It's like
so you get double the. They've gotten you to go through the stages the rooms multiple times.
But take different routes to get there. Yeah. So like, for example, the first kind of thing you have to do in the game, you have to get to this research base and find something, right? As Dylan, the male character, the one protagonist. Then he gets locked in a room. He radios to Regina to come and help him. But she can't go through the same way that he went because somehow the reeds grew back once he, like 10 minutes before. So then you see another gate that she can short circuit. So she takes another path, but ends up at the same place, which is pretty cool because then it like utilizes the whole island that you're on pretty much, which is quite a lot of fun. And then
in a game that he's going back, I go,
but in a game with time travel, they time travel back, that's what happened.
And then I said it before. So like the game's a lot more action focused than the first one, which almost mirrors like the jump from RE2 to RE3.
Yeah.
Because Resident Evil 2 was a lot more survival horror focused than Resident Evil 3, which was more action focused. So like obviously there's a whole theme going on.
Must fight to survive.
And like they incentivize you to fight in Dino Crisis 2 because like I said last week, every dinosaur you kill, you get points.
Yeah, the points you can use to buy weapons and like healing items. I don't know how this works.
No.
What's the exchange rate?
one Velociraptor.
Also over time. That you must deal with now.
But then obviously you buy the ammo with those action points. I think they're called action points. Yeah. But then you can also buy new guns. And then there's like, for example, one section where you have to go through this part of the jungle, but there's like these plants, these like prehistoric plants that are squirting out poisonous gas. So if you want to go through there, you'll die. But then you need to go buy a flamethrower and burn those plants as you're walking through them. Which is pretty. It makes it feel more arcadey.
Yeah,
yeah.
I also think that was in a time in games where we didn't care about, we didn't ask too many questions. We just
don't ask questions. but
if there was story plots that was as janky as that, as in like The Last of Us, the world would not be into the game. The Last of Us exists because it's all question, like it's all realistic. That's happening.
I think because it got a significantly lower rating than the first game.
Yeah.
Like, according to like Play Magazine, like the first game got 94%. They gave it 94%. And the second game, they gave 80%.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's dumbed down. It's completely dumb.
Yeah.
So I think it was because the first game sort of leaned into that grounded Jurassic Park survival art. This was just like time travel, dinosaurs, shoot everything. And it's just, it didn't feel the same. And it lost that Resident Evil core.
Yeah, exactly. And then speaking about sequels, there are two sequels to Dino Crisis 2.
Wait, I know about three. Wait, what do you mean there's two sequels?
Yeah, so the one is called Dino Stalker. Which is, it carries on that Capcom, sorry.
Whoa.
The Capcom tradition of releasing first person versions or sequels to their games, which is like a spin-off. So, you know, Resident Evil had Dead Aim. Yes. Dino Stalker is a Dead Aim version of Dino Crisis. So it's like, it's not on rails, but it's a first person shooter that took advantage of like a light gun if you had it on the PS1, but you could also play it like with a controller or a mouse on PC. I think it came out on PC.
It would be funny if it was Dino's Talker. Dinosaurs that talk to you.
That sounds like a Wii. That sounds like a Nintendo DS game. Yeah. Like, Dino's talking.
And the second one?
And then there's Dino Crisis 3, which was universally hated. Like,
and that even went even wilder because that was like dinosaurs in space.
And
like time travel is okay, but space, no, guys. You can't have space and dinosaurs.
Time travel, dinosaurs, and space.
Yeah.
It's too much.
In the one after that, there was elves also. In there. Just added everything.
And it was an Xbox exclusive, OG Xbox exclusive.
I think that was so hurt.
Definitely hurt it.
Like,
so you've never played it?
I've never played it. I watched some gameplay of it in preparation for this episode, and oh my goodness.
It looks bad.
It's janko, like
that looks terrible.
Also, one of the cool things I saw was like, because obviously it skips the pre-rendered backgrounds of Dino Crisis 1 and 2, and it's like a fully open, like not open, but a fully 3D world, and you've got a jetpack, so you can like you can go up to multiple levels and fly around. And but then once again, it takes away the whole like dangerous aspect, because if a dinosaur comes through, you just go
up and shoot him.
Yeah,
yeah.
But from the gameplay I saw, the camera, the graphics are obviously horrible because of the time. But the camera, like I watched the thing where the protagonist is like fighting against two raptors, and like raptors are running towards you, but as you go up in the air, the camera angle changes, so you can't see the dinosaurs anymore. So then you're like
shooting.
The guy's just like off camera, not knowing where the dinosaurs are. Lands, dinosaurs are there. Shoots, fly. I can just tell why it was universally
bad.
I think it got like 51% on like overall, like an average score on Metacritic of 51.
Ew.
So that's Dino Crisis 2. Really enjoyed it. Haven't finished it yet. Out of 5, I would honestly give it a 3.5 out of 5. Like, it's fun. It's enjoyable. I don't find myself needing to go back to it like I would for like maybe even Dino Crisis 1 or the older Resident Evil games. Like, those games, I want to figure out the mystery. I want to find the puzzles. I want to be able to unlock this. But Dino Crisis 2, fun, but like also the voice acting. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah,
it's like,
bad.
Oh no, they're firing at us. Like, it's that like
the era of like, we got a food voice actor. Yeah. So like, we'll just.
But not only that, it's that they, you know, with voice, like when someone speaks, their voice warms up into the thing.
Yeah.
They just press play and then it's the loud.
Oh, hello.
No, no. Like it's not, there's no tone or anything.
Quickly.
There's a dinosaur in front of me.
So that's my review of Dino Crisis 2. Enjoyed it. And I've been playing it on an emulator as well. So I can like kind of save it when I want to and all that stuff. But not that save points are as rare as like the other games. I just quickly, we were talking about voice acting now. That just reminded me. Have you ever heard that there's like an in-game blooper in Oblivion? The Elder Scrolls game.
Person asked to do it again.
Yeah, the voice actor's talking is like, hey, welcome to... Oh, I just want to do that again. Hey, nice. Welcome. And it's in the game.
They left it in.
And I understand why, because firstly, it's Bethesda, but also because like...
It's a really funny line. Like,
but it's also like such a big open world that like you're going to miss something. There's so many lines of dialogue and stuff. They're going to miss something. So, but it's still in the game. They might have patched it out, but like it's still in the game.
That's
it's so
hilarious,
funny.
Hilarious, actually.
Okay, Yasin.
So the game that I went back to go play is Need for Speed Underground. Just because I got a new laptop, but it's not like a ball. It's just the admin laptop, right? So I can play PS2. Then what are you looking for?
Oh,
for
the game.
Yeah.
That's two though.
Whatever. Same.
The controls are horrible. This is the first thing we need to discuss, is that how bad PS2, early PS2 controllers, like the controls were. Oh, even man. PS1 was horrible. Like, the fact
are you
that
playing with a controller or with the...
With a controller.
Okay.
But like, even with a controller, the car doesn't... There's no like soft movement.
Oh, no.
It's like, hard, turn. But the game still stands as fun, and that thing of it pushes you like to try again, but it doesn't like demoralize you from like, oh, I'm playing too much.
Yeah.
It also looks cool. The cars look cool. I am playing it with like a bumped up frame rate, which is very nice for PS2 actually, to play like a 60 frame rate. Smooth. And then the music still stands.
Yeah, I mean,
it's still great. I'm there for all of it. And then also the design that you allow to do on the cars. Actually, I think I'm in a modification.
I was going to say, you're like in your exhibit era. Yeah. Like,
if you have a car and you want to ask him to modify it.
Yeah, if you have cardboard, I'll do it myself also. But the game is still a good, like, I'll give it maybe even a 5. A 5 out of 5. Yeah, it stands as so much fun. Also because you... But it's also nice because the game is so linear. Like you have to do the next thing and the next thing. There's no like, oh, you can go not do this mission and get the next thing. You have to do, and there's a storyline, and then you end up on car magazines, which is ridiculous. Because the first car magazine you end up on, your car look cuck.
Yeah, like, it's a normal car.
Because there's not enough money to modify it. So your car and then there's a lady standing next to the car, and you're like, what magazine is this? Anyway, Need for Speed Underground is, for me, it could be my favorite racing game.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from like Crash Team Racing and those, like an actual racing game, the music is there, the controls is janky, but you forgive it because it's a look, and there's the shortcuts also. That's the other thing I liked in the levels, quicker turns that you could do. You drive through the tunnel here, you go through there. It was a lot of fun, and then also the acting in it is also very bad, but I give them points.
Oh, I remember.
Was it like, it's almost told in like comic cutscenes, comic book style, or is it like static images? And
it's, they had people acting.
They had proper,
it
like,
was like green screen acting where the lady walks in and she's like, yo.
Wasn't it just, one
wasn't
of the
that,
games.
Wasn't it Underground 2?
No, there's Underground 2.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
No, this one, they just voice over the thing.
Yes, with the static image kind of thing.
So forgive me for mixing the two, because I also I've downloaded Underground 2 because I was like, this one is next. Because I didn't actually get into Underground 2. I only Underground 1, and then that was it for me.
That was Underground 2. Like, I played it recently. We spoke about it in one of the more recent episodes. Still like same problems that you, not problems, but same like rust on it, like from those older games, but still so lacquer, man. Like
fun.
But also Underground 1 started, I would say it started a genre of game, it brought like the modern, it brought arcade racing to consoles and to like back, like into your home it almost.
Also, yeah. Broke, Gran Turismo's cuck.
Yes.
Like Gran Turismo's admin and like, it was such like a textbook of a game. Like you go,
it's a car sim, it's not a game.
But it broke it and it made like cars cool also.
Yeah.
Like Gran Turismo is like, if you want to be technical and you like, I want to modify the car and I need to do this, all of that. It's like, I just want to race and I want to make my car look liquor.
Yeah.
And Underground, and if it's been Underground, 5 out of 5 stars.
Nice.
Yay. It's a great game. Saeed.
Okay. So I don't have a lot to say because I spoke about this thing last week. So listen to that if you... if you feel like this is
end of review, Shadley.
So I've been playing Castlevania Aria of Sorrow. It's on Game Boy. I'm playing it on the NBNIC, playing the emulated version. I'm enjoying the game, but I also hate it. Like,
it's killing you. No, it's like,
I can't give you a full review because I didn't finish the game yet.
Yeah,
because like I needed a break from it because it was making me upset.
When you fight the game, and the game fights back.
Also, you have a week to finish the game because the Amnik must not come to Brad.
I'm going to give up. I don't know if I'm going to finish that game because I've already put a few hours into that game and like, I don't know. I don't think, I think I need a break from it and I'll come back to it like
from
a
what
month
I've
or
seen
two.
From like reviews, like the old reviews, it's like part of like one trilogy, one Castlevania trilogy that was out in that time.
Yeah.
And the feeling I got was it works well if you like into that.
Yeah. So that's like my first.
So it's like, it's very odd. Like to me, I imagine it's very hard to go into that genre of game. And then it's like, you completely over your head.
The thing is, I wanted to play it because I wanted to try like a style of game that I haven't played much before.
Yeah.
And because it's on the handheld, I wanted to do something that was like easy.
Yeah.
And I say easy because there's not that many mechanics that they can do at one time on a Game Boy.
On a Game Boy Advance, yeah.
So like the game has four buttons. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it's four buttons and then I must move. So it's cool because I think I would be over my head if I like try to jump into like playing like Dark Souls now, for example.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I like that's a game I want to get to eventually.
Mm.
But playing this game, because it's like all the So like I played this game by mistake. I wanted to play the other one.
Okay.
Because I remember my cousin playing that game.
I fell and pressed X.
And then I thought the one that I was playing was that one. But then as I was playing, I realized no, the way the power ups look is different, so it can't be the same one. But I already played like for like 40 minutes. I was like, I'm just gonna play this and do the review. I'm enjoying the game. But like there's too much of the having to explore the castle for me that there's no the game has no like there's no ways of knowing where to go next, man. So like you have the map, and the map shows you which rooms you haven't been in yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I only have two parts of the map at the moment. So like I'm struggling to find like how to go, or like where do I go next, or how do I get to that place? Because it's obvious that there's some power ups you need to get certain places, and I don't like so I'm basically just running from one side to the other side, up and down, like the whole time doing the same stuff, right? And the story is, what I remember of the story is cool because I'm so far in between the different.
Oh, yeah.
It takes so long from the one dialogue to the other dialogue that I get to that I'm like, oh, I don't remember. Like,
and is the story like the text at the bottom, like the typical Game Boy, like the
like, yeah, like you talk to people and then they tell you this. So you have to like pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So did you get any of this? Did you do any of the story stuff? Or must I?
No, I didn't do any of the story
stuff. So like basically, you know, this game is set in 2035, right?
Okay.
And in 1999,
10 years from now,
1999, the Belmonts vanished Dracula, right? So you're in Dracula's castle. So it starts. The game starts. You and your friend. You're at the shrine. I don't know what country where it is in the world.
What?
Translate.
Like I don't know where it is. Yeah.
Wallachia.
And as you're there, there's an eclipse that happens, and then you go. You get transported to the castle because the castle exists. Like they trapped it in between time and space, basically.
Alvia made it time travels.
So then you there, and then you have to go explore. You have to figure out what's happening. And then the person that you're with just waits by the front of the castle for you. I don't know why she just lumps there. And then you go through the castle, and then you find out you meet this brah's name is Graham Jones. You meet like a missionary, brah. And I was like, why is it brah named Graham in this game? I almost stopped playing, brah. I was like, why is this brah in this game? And then he tells you.
Yeah. He does trail running in Cape Town.
He has a puffer jacket.
Exactly, brah. And he's like, everybody wants to be here because they said in 2035 there will be an eclipse and somebody will be able to inherit all of Dracula's power, man. So the reason why you get power ups is because you also have the ability to get these to get Dracula's power.
Okay.
That's as far as I got in the story.
Okay.
What's next?
Next episode.
I don't want to read because I don't want to spoil it. Because otherwise I'll never finish it if I know what happened. So then like you meet that, but and then randomly throughout in another room you meet like a guy who's like from the military and he says, oh, because everybody wants to be at the castle and nobody has weapons, I have a shop in the front of the military,
of course,
in the front of the castle. So throughout the game, I'm collecting gold and I'm like, when am I going to spend in the castle? And then I meet this, but I'm like, oh, because I'm supposed to save up so I can buy weapons and map and a piece of a map and potions and stuff from him. Because it's permadeath also, so you need to have potions like stocked, or you must just keep saving like I do. I just save.
Save.
Easy.
But like, the game is like grindy because like you, when you kill a monster, they release like power. They get powers. You can get some of their powers, man.
Okay.
So, that's like the basically where I'm at to the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I really do want to finish it because I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I need a break because it's too much of the same thing.
Is this your? We kind of spoke about it last week, but is this your first like Metroidvania style game?
Yeah, I think this is my first. I think this is the closest I've gotten to this kind of thing, even though it's not really close. Would have been something. Nah, never mind. I'm talking nonsense. I was gonna say. I was gonna say something like Hades, but it's not the same.
That style of gaming, like the platform, is that I don't see it as an in-depth game. Like I know platform to just be walk and kill what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Ta-da, end of it. Yeah. No, you don't need to go back to the
This is like, you must remember with the rooms you were in, you must remember what...
It's a lot of like exploring. Yeah. And, like,
and I like that because it's like I play the, I pick the game up when I'm waiting for like my tea, the kettle to boil. I'll play like 5 minutes or when I'm in the, by the fire or something. Yeah. And I'll, you know what I mean? Like, it's not... Like, I'm not like penciling time to be like, I'm going to play this game for 2 hours now.
Yeah.
So it's liquor, but...
It's a lot that you need to like...
Yeah, you have to remember because like certain enemies, they move different. So it's like, you must know, okay, I must switch to this power if I'm going to fight this thing and I must do this. So it's cool because like you kind of like remember, you have to remember the enemies and what they do, how they move, their patterns, which is why, like I said, like I want to try like a Dark Souls kind of thing because I know like that is like a similar vibe where you have to like, you can learn the patterns and like best ways to do it. So this is kind of training me to get into that those kinds of games.
Do you know one game I think you would, it's the same, but it's like maybe a little bit more lighthearted or whatever, is Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Is it?
Yeah. Like that's Metroidvania style, but it's tough. Don't get me wrong.
It is hard. But
I think because it's on, let's say, modern consoles.
Yeah.
So it's last gen, but it's modern. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The map is a little bit better to read and it's laid out in a way like you have to concentrate, but you do remember how to get, oh shit, I've got this power up now. Yeah. Now I know how to get here, or I can swim now.
They tag like where you need to use like the powers a bit better.
Okay.
I think that helps. Like,
is it like Celeste?
I couldn't tell you.
Celeste was a tough game.
No, it's not Celeste, like Celeste. Celeste is much harder. Like,
Celeste is a tough game. That was on the Switch.
It's brutal.
Ori was also on the Switch, but I just never got to it.
I must get the Switch back also. I've been so busy.
Yeah, if you can play it on Switch, it's flipping amazing. And yeah, I think games like Hollow Knight, like...
Yeah. Hollow Knight is a lot tougher, I'd say.
It's so much tougher because they almost based it on like the older Metroidvania, even though it's also a modern game. So they gave it that difficulty spike. I couldn't get into Hollow Knight.
It's really difficult.
The Ori games are... Oh, I was obsessed with them. Like, I love them.
All right, so Shadley, we don't have a lot of time. Go, 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 go.
Okay, wait, hang on.
Just chill. popping.
Yo, he promised off the moment. Just like, calm down.
No, so I actually I'm going to review two games because I'm going to review Red Faction 2, but I feel like I can't review Red Faction 2 without doing one.
Yeah.
I've spoken about one before.
Two Red, two Faction.
And
any sequel does that.
Like, I played one quite recently and it actually holds up really well because it is, for the most part, a Half-Life clone. It has that feel, that whole sort of, you know, that slower gameplay, lots of puzzles to use, but it also emphasizes Geobot, Yasin, you will know.
Gang, gang.
Which is super chess. So you'll come up against like a tank on a bridge and you're like, okay, I can blow the bridge out and it'll fall down into the chasm kind of thing.
Ooh.
Or if there's like a building you can't get into, you can blast like the rock and go around it. It also adds all those like other problem solving elements.
It also had a rail gun that you literally could shoot through walls. Like a few walls to get to someone. So if you play multiplayer, you camp like a bitch.
But they will dig for you. No. They can dig for you. And like I said, it is a Half-Life clone and it is a slower paced game because I feel like Half-Life is not like one of these faster FPSs. Yeah.
No,
it's I don't want to say it's arcade, but it's like less movement heavy. Mm.
Is it story focused, Red Faction?
So you play as a miner, Parker. His name is just Parker.
Keep
him away from Drake.
Yeah, like, wait, what are you talking about?
And basically like the miners are wrapped up in a rebellion against Alto, which is like riding the mines and stuff, and they're mistreating them because they promised them a good life here on Mars. And then they're like slave labor. And then they're still like experimenting on them with like nanotech because of course you're doing stuff like that. So straightforward plot, and you just like, oh shit, you there when the rebellion starts, and you're like, well shit, now I gotta fight to survive.
Okay.
And it's fun. You know, like there's a bunch of vehicles you can use. There's a sub, there's a jet and all of that. And they have like fun sequences because you can like blow up. There's a sequence where you're like flying through like these massive caverns, and you can like shoot stalactites onto other other jets that are in the area, and it just it feels fun, man. And you have like it's a bunch of weapons, like Yasin was mentioning, the railgun, there's a bunch of rocket launchers. All the weapons have like a secondary fire option as well. And the game is like it's enjoyable and it holds up. Like apart from a little bit of PS2 jank, like the standard PS2
just one
jank.
Pause there. Saeed, what do you out of 5 stars, what are you giving Castlevania?
Why don't we do it after?
Oh yeah.
I didn't finish it. So.
Okay. TBC. Carry on.
And also like the geomod works from a story perspective, you're minor, like
that's cool.
Then what was the other thing? It also makes you feel like you're up against this bigger entity, but like you're up against this corporation, which is just
it's very Half-Life 2, hey? Like, very Half-Life, yeah.
It is. But I think it plays into like the strengths of Half-Life very well.
Yeah.
And it also does its own thing. It does have stealth sections, like long stealth sections, which are super cack. Because you're like, this is, it's a first person shooter. Yeah. You can't crawl. You can't do any of
it's
that.
It's too much tension.
Yeah.
And then like, it does have a fun but limited multiplayer split screen. So it's only 2 players.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's bots. So it's kind
is
of
it for Red Faction 2?
1.
Huh. What were we playing?
We played 2 a lot.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I want to get onto, because I was hyped after the first one for Red Faction 2. And that came out like, a year? It's the year? Yeah, a year later.
Oh, wow.
Like a year and a half.
Quick, quick turnaround time.
Yeah. And this, like story-wise, this game is so much worse. It's a generic action. It's very generic action. You are a super soldier, part of a unit who's working for the Commonwealth. But the Commonwealth are really the bad guys. So you get wrapped
like
up in this battle.
Commonwealth.
So you get wrapped up. Yo, brah. The villain from the Commonwealth, the first villain is like Victor Sopot, who looks like a mixture of Stalin and Saddam Hussein.
Oh, they knew what they were doing. Also, you can see the artwork. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
The artwork is very much...
yeah, that cover, yeah.
And then it's like... So like your unit, you end up killing Sopot like very quickly for like the Red Faction who's like rebelling against them. And then it's like, nah, your unit is like, nah, we're taking over. We're gonna rule. And then they try to kill you and you're like, what? So that was killed him. Like,
so you live long. What's it?
So it's like a typical, you like, 2000.
You either die a hero, you live
but,
long
yeah,
enough.
They try and kill you or so. They just try to kill you.
Oh,
and then you're like, my team has betrayed me. Now I must kill them all. And then basically the whole thing is to take them down. So it feels more like an action shooter with Geobot to make it. Like, the action is big and it's bombastic and there's cool weapons. But it feels more Unreal Tournament than Half-Life. So it's faster and it's bigger, but like it hasn't aged well because of that. That you feel those, that frame rate is lacking. It just feels a bit like dull in comparison.
I see here on the back of the second one, they have keyboard and mouse support on the PlayStation. Did you try it yet?
No, not on the PlayStation.
Also,
that's cool. And Jason Statham is in here.
Only people...
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's funny. Only people that had the keyboard and mouse for PlayStation 2, that's real money.
Couldn't you just use a normal USB?
No, you needed to use a PlayStation keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And no one bought that. Like, you bought more controllers, you bought a multi-tap, but no one bought the
did
mouse.
We get the keyboard and mouse? Yeah.
I don't know. So. I don't remember seeing it.
I forgot about its existence until this very second. Yeah.
Yeah, but the way I think the game works now is it's multiplayer, because we played a lot of it. It's 4-player split screen and it leans more into like the Unreal Tournament style.
But it also had geomod in 4-player as well.
So it had the geomod
and it had bots also.
It had bots and you could mod your bots to have like aggressive behavior to make them like camping tendencies. So you could do like a lot with it and it made it like a lot of fun. And I also think like the weapons just complemented it. But for me, it feels more like a sideways movement more than like an improvement.
Yeah.
I also think like they were like, they had a hit with Red Faction 1 that they didn't expect. And then they were like, shit, we need to get another game out like now. And so they just put something together. Yeah. So to wrap up basically now, like I'd say Red Faction 1 holds up like liquor. You can play it again. There's a port on like the PS4, like for PS4, but you can obviously play it on PS5.
Would it hold up if I never played either of these games? So if I play this for the first time, do you think it would be an okay game? Because you have nostalgia.
I do have a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah.
I say it. I do. How do you feel about like Half-Life? Have you played it recently?
I love Half-Life.
Have you played it recently?
I played Half-Life 2.
So like, said that with such conviction. I love Half-Life.
You've spoken about it on the pod before.
I played Half-Life 2 like...
No, but the first one. Ago. I'd say like...
The first one I haven't played for a while, but like that's... I played it back then. So I
would say
give it a
shot. I would say definitely like try it out. Okay. I think it will hold up okay. So I'd say I'd give the Red Faction 1 like a 4 out of 5. I still think there's like a bit of rust. And Red Faction 2, I'd give like a 3.5. I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's a bit forgettable. It's enjoyable for like the moment, but it's, for the most part, it's like forgettable.
You could rather go to 1 than go to 2.
Yeah.
What about 3?
I haven't played the
is there a 3?
There's Guerrilla and there's Armageddon, but those are third-person games.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I haven't played them. Okay. So I can't really say, I can't give a fair... Yeah. Like, assessment of that.
I still find it wild like how they got the geomod thing right on the PS2. Like,
right?
There's the games like Metal Gear Solid, like Red Faction, that just utilize the hardware
to its max,
but it doesn't affect the game at all. Like, it doesn't affect the frame rate or it doesn't affect anything. It just like ups it on such old hardware. It's so cool. I've never played Red Faction. Never. I want to.
So in the multiplayer, it was wild because what we would do, so there's one stage where it's one base opposite another base in a canyon kind of a thing.
Okay.
And you literally could dig a tunnel on the side of the canyon.
Yeah.
And run through it. And it also had like a, it wasn't infinite, but there was quite a bit of digging you could do as a game.
Yeah.
Before it would like run out or they'd start closing the holes and stuff. But like it would stay there for the entire game also. It's not like, because there's some games you blow up a wall, you run for a bit, you come back.
The war is back.
And it makes sense to do that. But this game held all those things.
And you dig with the guns. You shoot.
Yeah.
You shoot.
Yeah. All explosive weapons basically destroy the environment.
Yeah, I remember watching a video about it. Like it was like a review, like what we're doing, but I watched it on YouTube and I was watching it and I'm like, they got that right on a PS2.
What year was it?
So the first one came out in 2001.
Wow.
Crazy.
So
the other thing that you could do, so let's say there's a wall, you could make a hole under the wall, like to try, but you must obviously shoot at the right angle and then basically camp underneath the wall and shoot people running past. And I was like, yo, you could really like get creative with your game.
It's like infinite options really to win. It's really cool.
I wonder if you were saying like the distraction, like in some of the flying sections, they're like watchtowers and you can literally shoot out the walls and let the watchtower like just crumble below it.
So cool. Do you think they could introduce that to like COD?
Well, there's like games like Rainbow Six has that kind of thing where there's like the environment you can...
And is it the online multiplayer?
I
think the problem is like...
But it's not this kind of a game.
No.
I think the problem is people will complain about balancing issues in like multiplayer settings because they will be like, oh, you can do this.
Yeah.
Take that out. Because they want it to be like perfectly balanced so that it's like you can't take advantage of anything. And it kind of sucks because... I like the fact that you can like rip apart the building and be like, you can hide anywhere, but you also, there's no hiding place because people can figure out where you are and find you.
Mm. Yeah.
And that makes it like fun.
But also, I would just chip away at one building. Just like chip a whole corner out and see if you can make the whole building tip.
I think Battlefield tried stuff like that as well.
It would be fun though. I feel like it's a technology that they should use in some way back into games.
You can do it in Fortnite.
Is it?
You can like the buildings that you...
No, like but, all but I mean, yeah, but Fortnite's
I think it's the way in which it
works. Yeah, Fortnite is more like a comical...
But it's just you can break down buildings and you can break a building while someone's on top and then they'll get full damage. But it's not like as like in-depth this, as this.
Like this is literally like there'll be a bunker and it'll be like just explosive proof, but then there's like a wall, like a mountainous wall, and you're like, I found your one weakness, and you dig through that and surprise them all.
So that's the wrap up for the retro gaming reviews. What games are you guys, what retro games have you played recently? Does it stand? And what's the review on it? No, this is for the listeners, sorry.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You confused me now. I was like, sorry. What's going on?
Is there anything else that we...
No, we don't have anything
any
else.
Questions or anything?
No, they didn't send us stuff. Send us questions, man. Ask us stuff about games.
Do you have anything to add?
No, just I'm cold. It's been a cold week.
He's fucking cold.
So if you're listening to this...
Any final words?
Nope.
Said Saeed Al.
And words. This has been the Coffin Controller Podcast. I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Brad.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Shadley Desai.
Bye.
Bye.